Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, March 18th, 2024. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can raise your virtual hands or lower them by pressing *9. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise and lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it helps us because then we know that somebody is trying to make some comments and we can have one speaker at a time in the order people raise their hands. At this point, everybody is on mute and I thank you for staying on mute unless speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise. Just a reminder that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. I would request everyone who makes a comment to please state your name before your comments because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone call knowing who the speaker is. And when people listen to the meeting audio, it helps them in knowing who the speakers were at the time when they were speaking. So thank you for doing that. And recently we have started describing ourselves. So I would also request any speakers, when you initially speak, please describe yourself. For instance, I'm a female, Asian Indian. I have long dark hair and I wear reading glasses. Chair Summerford, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda out loud and then take the roll call of the committee members.
Yes, please. Go right ahead.
Great. So what I'll do is before I start reading it, I will share my screen. And if someone could confirm that it's...
I can see the agenda on the screen that you shared.
Great, thank you. So as soon as I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. Then we will have review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. After that, we will have commendations report, customer service report, and outreach report, if any. And then we will have the Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. Mr. Blake would give us an update about abilities right provider solicitation. And Mr. Blake will also discuss the Metro Access service area update for fiscal year 2025. And the third topic also belongs to Mr. Blake. That's an update about the Metro Access minivan. Our last topic for discussion is by Allison Anderson. Ms. Anderson will discuss Metro Access customer guide and insert pamphlets. At 5:35, we will begin the public comment section and the meeting will adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now and begin the roll call for the committee members. So when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura?
Alert, audio is unmuted.
Tino Calabia?
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles?
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy? Rico is on the screen.
I'm here.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. No problem. Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangram. Philippa Mazzell, Sandy Nuzzo.
Present.
Thank you. Bill Posner.
Philippa is present. I just couldn't unmute because I hadn't hit approval for that recording.
Okay, thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samaford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simonow. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Chair Samaford, we can go through the public comments announcements at that time when we begin. Or would you rather me do that now?
You may go do that announcement right now, please.
Okay, sure. So anybody who would like to make public comments, please either send me a message in the chat if you can, or try to raise your hands, virtual hands, at the time we begin the public comments section so that we can take the members of the public in the order they put their hand up. Every member of the public would have 2 minutes to make their comment. Please try to stay within the time allotted because we want to make sure that everybody who intends to speak gets an opportunity to do so. Anyone who, I hope we can get to all the members of the public during the meeting time. However, if we run out of time, you can also send us an email or call and leave a message. And the email is metroaacchair@wmata.com. And the phone number is 202-962-1100. Chair Samaford, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. We got a fully packed agenda, so we're going to go on with the review and approval of the agenda. Are there any additions to this already fully packed agenda? Can I get here in the crickets? Can I get a motion to approve the agenda as is?
Motion to approve, Farmer.
All right, second.
Second.
All in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions. We will move the agenda as presented. Next will be the minutes from last month in February for the Metro Access Subcommittee minutes. Are there any changes, questions, anything that needs to be added? Again, hearing the crickets, please, I would like to get a motion to move this meeting minutes from February 2024 as is from the Metro Access last meeting. Can I get a motion?
Motion.
Okay, got first, second.
A second. This is Sandy.
All right. All those in favor to approve it as is for the Metro Access Subcommittee minutes from February 2024, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, motion carries. Thank you. Next, we are going to go with reports with accommodations, customer service, and outreach. Started with Ms. Anderson.
Thank you very much, Chair Semaford. My name is Allison Anderson with the Office of Metro Access Service. I am a middle-aged Black female with my hair in a bun today and wearing a gray jacket with a Metro insignia. It is my pleasure to present Mr. Dolan Chittums with MTM to give the report on our public comment follow-up from our last session. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums from MTM. I'm an African-American male, long locks, and wearing a gray shirt. During the AAC meeting held on February 5th, 2024, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on February 20th, 2024, There were two outstanding public comments that required further investigation. The first comment was regarding the digital assistance and the customer's experience on the abilities ride. To ensure that the concern was handled, corrective action was taken to mitigate the issue with the digital assistant, and Mr. Blake followed up with the abilities ride vendor regarding the customer's travel experience. The second public comment was regarding Metro Access sedan policy. Our team was unable to identify the member of the public who submitted the comment. Due to not having enough information, a follow-up was not possible. The current Metro Access policy for sedan trips allows a maximum of two passengers at a time for Metro Access. Now moving on to accommodations. During the month of February, Metro Access received a total of 447 accommodations. The recipients were First Transit with 82, Transdev 94, MV 103, Challenger 55, Next Maryland VA with 95, NTM 0, Eligibility 0, and Abilities Ride 18. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Chittums. And so far as outreach, we do have some information to share with the committee regarding outreach. So since our last meeting, Mr. Blake was a presenter during the February meeting of the Arlington Commission on Aging Transportation Committee. Also, Mr. Blake attended each of the budget hearings, answering questions from customers and displaying as well the proposed Metro Access service area map. Lastly, Mr. Blake is also going to be in attendance tomorrow. He will be a presenter at tomorrow night's meeting of the Fairfax Transportation Advisory Committee. And that concludes my report on outreach.
Thank you so much. All right. Do we have anyone for the Metro Access, Michael Wilson and Metro Access AAC Safety Award?
Absolutely. So at this time, I'd like to present Ms. Nicole Ridgway to provide the presentation for the Michael Wilson Award this afternoon. And following Ms. Ridgway's presentation, we will have Mr. Ford with First Transit to present the Metro Access Safety Committee Award. So, Nicole?
Yep, good afternoon. Take it away.
Thank you. My name is Nicole Ridgway. I am the general manager with MV Transportation. We are responsible for the Operations Control Center. I am a Native American Asian Black female. I have silver gray hair, a blue shirt, and a black sweater. And what I'd like to do is go ahead and present this over to Gerald Darner, who is our OCC director, who will present our Michael Wilson Award.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Gerald Garner, OCC director, an extremely young, gray-bearded gentleman of white, Caucasian background. It is my pleasure today to announce MV Transit's Michael Wilson Award winner. This individual goes above and beyond every single day in everything she does. Her name is Tiara Maynard. She's a dispatch supervisor in the dispatch and Where's My Ride department. She started with OCC MV Transit in April of 2021. Within a very short 6-month period, she showed exactly what she was capable of doing, her work ethic, her drive for success, and her drive to support our customers. And she was promoted to the position of dispatch supervisor. Since then, she has excelled in her position. She is the epitome of a team player, as she is always willing to volunteer to assist customers, employees, and the overall operation whenever needed. It would be just about impossible, nearly impossible, to properly convey the extent in which Tiara routinely goes out of her way to lead by her own example. She has recently and graciously taken on the lead for MV OCC STAR program, which develops new dispatchers after they complete their new hire training. Tierra also serves as a key communicator, not only with external customers who ride Metro Access, but she also plays a key role in reinforcing the communication lines between the OCC and service delivery.
Hey, Stella, I looked around here quickly and I couldn't find your keys anywhere, period.
If everyone could please mute, please.
Yes, I'm going to mute.
I might be able to get Ira to take a look.
Patrick, bear with me for a moment. We can hear you, so just a second. Okay, I think you're good to go. Go ahead.
I'd be willing to bet Tierra could also find those keys.
No, he's still not muted yet. I know he's still not muted yet.
Okay, give me 1 second. Nicole, I'm going to mute everyone and then you'll have to unmute yourself. 1 second.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so just to continue this, Tierra consistently goes above and beyond to help every single customer. She takes a lot of pride in the business that we manage every single day, and also does everything that she can to make sure every customer is on time and safe in their travels. In closing, Tierra has embodied an unrelenting commitment to making Metro Access Service a better customer service focused experience for all on a daily basis. Through her actions, she serves as a model to team members and is so deserving of this award. We could not pick a better candidate for this.
Absolutely. So, Tierra, we're presenting you with this award for the Michael Wilson Customer Service Excellence for the Metro Access Operations Control Center. And we have something else for you, right, Tierra?
We also are presenting Tierra with a $100 Visa gift card for her efforts and consistent efforts in the business.
We couldn't do this without you, Tierra.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. My name is Tierra. I'm a young, light-skinned woman. And it's a privilege to work for MV and being able to serve my purpose. I mentioned that to Gerald and Nicole a lot. It's my purpose in life to help other people. And there's no better way than giving them their independency and being able to travel with Metro Access. So I thank you all for the opportunity of being able to be a part of the team and show you the skills that I have to bring to the table and work with this great team.
Excellent. And again, congratulations, Tierra. You do important work.
Congratulations. Extraordinary performance. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
All right. So do we have Mr. Ford from First Transit on the line? Or anyone from the First Transit team? Going once, going twice. I'm not hearing anybody.
I guess we may have to wait on them until they come. Let me know, Ms. Anderson, and I can just weave them in.
Okay. I will certainly follow up and let you know status. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
We can be efficient with our time. Mr. Blake, you are up next, wherever you are on this screen, to give the first presentation about Abilities Ride solicitation updates, because we heard about Lyft, and I'm sure maybe you might have a few others and give us more information. Go right ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can everyone else hear?
Okay, you can hear me. Can you see me?
No, I can't see you. I saw you once and you went off on that NC screen.
It's very difficult to hear.
Okay, now I see you have another screen open.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it. I may have to switch rooms, but let me just go ahead and begin and we'll go from there.
I can't understand what's being said.
You can't.
I guess Doris wants you to speak a little bit louder.
It's actually the sound is distorted. I can't discern what's
saying. All right, so she's saying you're distorted.
Okay, so hold on 1 second, please. Sorry about this. Am I coming through better now?
Can you hear it?
You're sort of reverberating.
Oh, okay, now I'm getting.
Recording in progress.
Oh, what? All right.
How about
yeah, that? While Mr. Blake is getting. Oh, there you go. And I see your face. Oh, I just saw your face. There you go.
Can you hear me?
Much better. Thank you.
Much better.
Okay. And you can see me.
Yes.
Okay. Christian Blake, Vice President of Metro Access. The first topic tonight that I was going to talk about, you're saying, Mr. Chairman, is about abilities ride.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we recently completed a solicitation for the abilities ride program. Where we are right now are the companies, the six taxi companies that were previously in the program remain in the program. So that's Silver Cab in Prince George's County, Regency Taxi and Action Taxi in Montgomery County, Old Dominion in Virginia, and Curb and Yellow Cab in Washington, D.C. And Silver Cab operating as VIP, which some of you may be familiar with if you use the Transport DC program, they will be eligible for some trips in Washington, D.C. as well. I heard you mention earlier Lyft. They have been accepted, but they have not, as you know, the saying goes, they haven't signed the contract yet. So there are no Lyft trips yet, but officially from our end, they were accepted, but no contract has been signed just yet. And there is, and of course, Uber is still part of the program as well. So all the incumbents that were providing many of the daily trips are returning to the program. And while we wait on Lyft, if you will, although the program doesn't stop in waiting on them, a new provider is being added that some of you will get a chance to experience. And we'll start, of course, with AAC members and other stakeholders who participate in these meetings. And it's a company some of you may be familiar with, some may not. Particularly if you live in Alexandria, you may have used them. It's called Userve, U-Z-U-R-V. Now, what they are, if you picture Uber, because these are private vehicles just like they use on the Uber. But this company provides door-to-door service. So those individuals who in the past have said, no, I don't think we really want to be on Abilities Ride because I, as a customer, need door-to-door service. I need that support from the operator to and from the vehicle. This company, actually, that's part of their business model. That's part of their service. So you'll be hearing more about them as we roll it out. We have to decide once they begin a recruitment. You'll probably hear on the news and in other places about them hiring individuals. Again, they're already providing service in this region in Alexandria. But that's for the local transit service, not part of WMATA or Metro Access. But doesn't mean they will only be in Alexandria with Metro Access. They could be anywhere in the region. It really depends on how well their recruitment of drivers goes. So as we begin to roll them in, we'll bring them to a meeting in the near future, Mr. Simmelford and members, get a chance to ask them some questions. And then once they're in our system and our computer program, we will reach out to you and the regulars, y'all know who y'all are, and say, hey, we see you have a Metro Access trip scheduled today. Would you like that trip to be on Userve and experience door-to-door
door-to-door type of service outside of a Metro Access vehicle. Right now, all your trips that are outside of Metro Access, generally speaking, are curb-to-curb. But this is a fully staffed door-to-door service. So that's where we are with Abilities Ride. Nothing else really has changed much, so I don't want anybody to think much has changed. We did go out to offer companies in the region the opportunity to participate in Lyft and Userve appear to be the two new providers if Lyft decides eventually to participate.
All right, so it's my understanding from the last time, and then I'll have Thomas, I see his hand go first. When you last brought this up, that it was possible that Lyft would have began rolling out in March, but from what we're hearing now, that date has been pushed back until they physically sign the contract. And if and when they do, they will be similar to Uber as to be used similar to Uber, but as a 24-hour, you know, service. Now with Userve, what will their hours be? Because with some of the taxi cab providers, I know y'all don't want to overload them with too much business or customers, only enough they can handle and will do the trips, execute them faithfully. Will it be similar to some of the taxi cab providers in this region where it's during basically daylight hours? Will they be eventually be able to do 24-hour service? Are they going to do the whole Metro Access region? Is that what you envision?
Those are great questions. And I think we won't know the full answer to any of those questions until the company completes its recruitment. Mm-hmm. And so depending on how many drivers they recruit, the hours that their drivers want to work, that will determine the amount of trips and the times and the areas that we will be able to offer Metro Access customers trips on their service. I could give you an example that when they go big, if you will, over in Baltimore, Userve is supplementing the MTA Mobility paratransit service. And if I'm not mistaken, over there, they're doing about 15,000 to 18,000 trips a month. So they can scale up if the opportunity is there. I don't want to speculate that they'll be higher than that, lower than that. It really all depends on their recruitment efforts. So it's likely going to start slow and probably in one area or another and then grow from there. But we will give you all that information prior to us launching them into the mix of the daily lottery.
All right. And I'm presuming that if being small, you're probably going to start with them in the Northern Virginia area and then grow them out to the rest of the service area as they hire staff and they're able to have the larger capacities of customers.
It all depends on them. If that's where they have drivers, and because right now I mentioned Alexandria simply because they're there, but those drivers that they have over there are already busy doing their other work. I don't know if they can take on more work with Metro Access. So they have to hire new drivers and their training. And their training lasts usually about 60 days. So they have to hire new drivers. And it all depends on where the new drivers are as to where we're going to have the lottery pick trips from.
Okay, so now, right now, new, you're helping me. I saw Thomas's hand, the Vanessa, and then Denise Rush. Is that the order we're going in, Anu?
Yes, that is the order.
Okay, just want to make sure. So Thomas first, followed by Vanessa, and then Denise. 2 minutes, go ahead, Thomas. And then I see Doris Reyes fourth. So go ahead, Thomas, you're first. You can unmute yourself.
Thank you. I had trouble trying to get in. Mr. Blake, my question is this. If you're catching a ride from D.C. to go into Maryland and go into the parts where the service is going to be cut off for Metro Access, because a lot of the services you mentioned just now serve Maryland and Virginia. So would they come into DC to take us and to Maryland, some of the places where the service is gonna be cut off, or where not we're gonna have to meet somewhere in Maryland where these services that serve Maryland will pick us up and take us the rest of the way? And how would that work with reservation? Will reservation notice that we have to get on more than one ride to get to where we're going in Maryland? Or what have you? So that's my question. I wanted to know how this is going to work.
So, Thomas, I will say that there you will be going only on one ride, but I'm going to let Mr. Blake answer the rest of that question. I don't think under Metro Access you'll be going on two different vehicles, but Mr. Blake, I'm going to let you answer. That's the only thing I want to put out there as a fact.
You're correct, Mr. Chairman. We're not in there, and that's another thing I like to tell you. There are a lot of places around the country that make you transfer when you're using paratransit,
especially in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we haven't gone there yet, and we don't plan on going there, but just enjoy it while you have it. Let's put it that way. But no, here's the way it works, and I'll use today's example. So this is for the current providers in the program and any future provider in the program. If you're a Metro Access customer, before you can get selected by the lottery for a trip on an Uber or a taxi or another service, you have to first book a Metro Access trip. So if you can't book that Metro Access trip because it's outside of the service area, then there is no Abilities Ride trip for you to take, because Abilities Ride can only move a Metro Access trip. It cannot create a separate trip that's not within the Metro Access service for that day. Now,
go ahead. My understanding is this. So for the services that go and get cut in some parts of Maryland, once they get cut, we're not going to be able to go there at all on any now, type of
Thomas, that's topic number two we're going to talk about next service area. So let's stick to the topic right now with just Abilities Ride.
That's what I was talking about, because out of the Abilities Ride, that's a service for Maryland, not D.C., right?
No, sir. No, Abilities Ride started in Maryland, so you have that history right. But Abilities Ride now, as I pointed out, we have two providers in D.C., not counting Uber. There's a taxi company in Maryland, well, three in Maryland and one in Virginia, and then you have Uber that's all over. So no, Abilities Ride trips are throughout the region, and every customer who's a Metro Access customer who's enrolled in the program theoretically can have their trip selected for a free ride on Abilities Ride.
Okay.
Thank you. Next is going to be Vanessa Coles, followed by Denise Russian and Doris Ray. And with members of the public, it's going to be committee members only. Please save your comments for public comment period. Thank you. Vanessa, you're next.
Okay, thank you, Vanessa. African-American woman I have on the gray shirt. I guess kind of my question has already been answered as far as how far the service will run, and you're saying it's temporary right now, but does it have a potential to go as far as their service provide? For instance, there are some folks that are out in St. Mary's, St. Charles County. Will they extend at some point, you know, once they're fully staffed, or are they going to stay within the WMATA service area? That's my question.
The Abilities Ride program is only for the Metro Access service area.
Okay. All right.
And that's for all providers, not one or two or any of the new ones. That's for everybody. All their trips have to first be booked through Metro Access, through the Operations Control Center, and then can be moved to an Abilities Ride provider. If you call the OCC and try to book a trip to St. Mary's County, the OCC is going to say no, because that's outside the service area. So therefore, there would not be a trip to St. Mary's that a Abilities Ride provider can perform.
Right. And then, will this system work the same as Uber? You would need to know how
Alert.
to get a link, access through a link and work your phone, or will
Right.
is there an
Lyft will
entitlement?
be like that, but Userve, they're going to provide you, they're going to
Alert.
look, I believe, going to be look much more like the taxis, where you will
Alert.
have an opportunity to use a web-based interface to track your trip and ask for changes and things like that. But because of the door-to-door nature of their service, those trips are going to be more like the taxi trips, where they're scheduled based on the time you booked your Metro Access trip. So if you book your Metro Access trip for a 6 a.m. pickup, that's the time Userve will be expecting to go and pick you up.
So, and they'll come to the door, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Alert.
Thank you, Vanessa. Next is Denise Rush.
Aldi.
Yes, this is
All
Ms.
gas.
Rush. My question, this is going to, they're hiring, and who is going to be training them to know how to move blind customers or how to handle disabled
Yes,
customers?
great question. And Userve is a national company. As I mentioned, they're currently providing ADA paratransit service over in Baltimore. Here with Abilities Ride, it's not ADA service, as you all know, but they're going to continue to provide door-to-door service. So to answer your question, though, Userve has a very elaborate and detailed training module or training process for their drivers. I mentioned that it takes at least 60 days from the date of hire and through their training before a driver is actually performing trips on their platform. So Userve is the one that hires and selects individuals to drive on under their company banner, and they're the ones who do the training. They have provided me and my staff with materials to review to show us what they trained on, how do they select their drivers, and things like that, all the details. But this is their service, it's their company, much like the Uber and the taxis. But again, this company distinguish itself by providing door-to-door service.
And my other question is, how many vehicles are going to be wheelchair accessible?
That's a great question as well. And what we're doing is waiting again to see how many operators they hire and the vehicles that they then utilize. And they're partnering with the third company, with yet another company, to supply some of the wheelchair accessible vehicles. So we'll know all that once we launch the program, once we launch them into the program.
When we solicited them, did we have a requirement count of wheelchair accessible vehicles? Because that's the problem area.
No. The way the Abilities Ride program has worked, and currently we're doing about I want to say about 60 to 70, maybe 80 wheelchair trips a day through the Abilities Ride program. And we have other bonuses for customers who have signed up for Abilities Ride and require wheelchair service. So we've been covering the wheelchair accessible customers. But what we ask in the Abilities Ride solicitation is an estimate of how many vehicles they think they will be providing, both sedan and wheelchair accessible. And then what we do is also require commitments of growing those numbers and the ability to capacity up additional wheelchair accessible trips as time moves forward. So we are very keen on that subject, and we have another effort that's underway that's also going to bring a good number of wave trips to our system as well, that's outside of Metro Access. So that was part of the solicitation. And once they are on board and ready to launch, we'll have detailed figures for the community and that we could share.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Rush. Next is Doris Ray.
Hi. I was just curious about this company. I think you said they're providing services over here in Virginia, but maybe I got that wrong and they're providing.
Yes, he said Alexandria.
I believe they're providing.
That's what I thought I heard, Alexandria. So are they providing service for DOT?
If that's who would be the locally transit operated company.
The city's ADA paratransit.
Yes, I believe so. I'll find out exactly who they're working with, but they are up and running in Northern Virginia, yes.
Yeah, it's Alexandria DOT. And then, so they're providing door-to-door and not door-through-door, right?
Yeah, not door through door, door to door, the traditional door to door.
Door to door.
Yes.
Isn't that what we provide when we take somebody up to the door and take them to the vestibule?
Well, Metro Access calls it the first exterior door.
The first door, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And that's what they provide.
But they go all the way through, is what you're saying, right?
No, I don't believe they go any further that would take them out of the line of sight of their vehicle.
Because my understanding of door through door is some of the companies, you know, like if you're in an apartment building or a office building, they'll take you right to the door of your own individual destination. But this is just into the building, right?
That's to the door of the building or home or location.
Yeah,
thank
right.
You, Doris.
Okay. So, but they're going to do this in the context of Abilities Ride. Is that what I'm understanding?
That is correct.
Okay. So, and they're going to be like a supplemental provider for Abilities Ride.
No, they're going to be an Abilities Ride provider. They're a
regular. They're more vehicles, is what I meant by supplemental.
Yeah, we're bringing,
but
you're
right,
bringing additional capacity.
Right. Doris, your time is up.
Program.
For questions,
because yeah, okay.
We need to move
well,
on with
you.
The agenda.
I just was trying to understand what mm-hmm. what exactly it's doing. But can I ask the last question? Abilities Ride is where, if you're a Metro Access user and you know, your ride cannot come on time, you can switch, right, to like Uber or another Abilities Ride provider.
Well, that's
and the ride's free, right?
That's
right?
One small part of it. The Abilities Ride program is you're a Metro Access customer and you book your trip on Metro Access for tomorrow. Then we run a lottery program. And if your trip happens to be selected in that lottery, you win the lottery that day. And that the lottery ticket today is $4 because that would be your fare. You get a free trip on a taxi or an Uber. Now, thanks to the brilliance of Paul Semaphore telling us what they do in New York, you know, we listened to him. And New York says if your paratransit trip is running late, you can call an Uber and send us a receipt. Well, that's pretty nice of them. But we love y'all, but we don't think that would work in this region for us in our management of the resources. So what we do say, though, is if your trip on Metro Access is late or even projected to be late, either you can ask Metro Access for an alternative trip that would be free of charge, or Metro Access may, in fact, reach out to you and offer you an alternative trip that will be free of charge.
All right.
Okay,
thank you so much. We need to move on, Doris, to the next topic. For members of the public that want to speak, please hold them to customer comment period. We're only taking from committee members. Thank you. Next topic, Mr. Blake, is the Metro Access service area. And as you know there, as you talked about during the public hearings, and it was on Metro's website, the big question is, after now the public hearings are over and you received input, especially from the disability community, community. The big question becomes, will for FY25 the service area be maintained? Because from the map that's proposed by Metro, there seems to be a difference where some of the service area that's proposed to be changed is mostly in Prince George's, Montgomery, and Fairfax County, and certain areas will only be done on weekdays, and no indication of what service area on that map is going to be for weekends. But we kind of heard from you indirectly that they are looking to maintain it. So what are the possible changes, and what is the deal for FY25? So far, okay. That you can speak to.
I thought we would probably know more by now, but at this moment, we don't have an update, quite frankly. What we have presented the map. We presented a map that showed areas in the color purple, or if you were thinking about it, the full service area with what will remain in yellow, kind of in the core middle. And then little edges, but several of the little edges around the service area that were colored in purple that would be proposed to be taken out if the Metro Access service area went strictly by 3/4 of a mile of fixed route services. I will say this, I believe yourself, Chairman Sheehan, Vice Chair Rush, Tino, I saw Steve, Ansel Torres. When you start naming things, naming people, you end up missing somebody. So let me stop there. But I believe you all clearly made the case that for 2025, we should maintain the fare as it is, and you should maintain, and when I say you all were talking and speaking to the members of the Metro Board, that they should maintain the fare of flat $4 and that they should maintain the service area. An official decision has not yet been made. I have and my team have identified who we believe are the customers in those various small purple areas around the service area, just in case that does become the official map. And we will do that outreach that was motion by this committee and promised by staff to do, but that outreach to those individuals has not happened yet because the final decision on the service area has not yet been made. It's my hope, but I don't have any control over it now, but it's my hope that the service area stays at least for one more fiscal year while the larger WMATA continues to secure that long-term funding that many of you also spoke about. So give us one more month, maybe just a couple of weeks. Maybe we'll have, if I have more details, more information one way or the other by the AAC meeting, I will share it then. But if not, let's give us one more month because by April, we have to do something. Something has to give at that point because we have to then plan for the next round of service. So I wish I had more information for you at this time, but on one hand, the good news is that a decision hasn't been made, meaning that the service area is shrinking. On the other hand, good news or bad news, a decision hasn't been made that it's not. So give us a couple of more weeks. You may hear from me more during the AAC meeting. If not, let's give us till the next Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, where by then, some firm decisions would have been made, I'm sure.
All right. My last question before I go to other people about the service area is I was looking at that map very conspicuously. It said for weekdays only, but it did not indicate what service would look like on weekends from that map. It only gave a proposal for what weekdays is.
Correct. And as you already, as you know, and many know, especially those who live in the outskirts of Virginia, jurisdictions, and of course in the Prince George's County jurisdictions, the service area is different on the weekends. So there isn't a whole lot more shrinkage, if you will, But we are, again, once they make a decision about the service area, that will then tell us which way to go when it comes to outreach and who will be impacted. And if you receive a call from me, yourself, Mr. Chairman, or anyone else listening to this meeting, then you know that that area, some trips, or it could in fact just be your home, could be impacted on the weekends where it's not right now. But the weekday is the key. If the weekday stays firm, we know the weekend can. If there's a change there, then we're going to do the outreach on both levels.
And when it's finally decided on the service map and decision is made, hopefully we will at least access online, and I'm sure it will be put into the customer guide, a map of whatever is proposed or approved of for both the weekday and weekend, or like I said, it could possibly, we hope so, it be and maintains the same. That is what we ultimately would like to have for service area times and flat fare. But we could just speak into the service area. If there are changes, hopefully we get access to what that service map looks during weekdays and weekends.
You certainly will, yes. And part of that, man, just so you know, our colleagues in bus have continued, because as we haven't received, I don't think the agency has officially received any cold hard cash just yet, because the legislatures in each of our respective jurisdictions are still doing their work. But as more information is brought forward to our colleagues in the bus and rail planning, the fixed route planning side, things get adjusted. We don't have to reduce service frequency on a particular bus line as much. The rail can stay out an extra 30 minutes. So that map is still being reviewed. The map that you saw at the board hearings was the current doomsday map at that time. But the map is continuously being reviewed based on what is transpiring with funding. So I know you want a map right now. We needed to present a map at the budget hearings, but again, we would be on our fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh map by now if we gave you a copy of every time there was a change in iteration. So I just ask you to be patient. Give us between 2 to 4 more weeks, and then we will know for sure where we're going to be providing service in FY25 and whose lives will have to make some slight adjustments just in case.
All right, I'm going with Denise Rush and then Doris Ray, unless Anu, you saw any other hands that's from committee members?
Chair Samuelford, this is Anu. No, we only have 2 hands up at this point. But
go ahead, Ms. Rush, followed by Doris Ray.
Okay. Yes, this is Ms. Rush. I'm trying to get an understanding. The service area, regardless if they change it, cut it short or extend it, what I thought that the service area is regulated by the bus and rail. So even if they make a change and stop the bus, the service area is already cut automatic. Am I not understanding? I'm saying if your bus line is not going to be running during the day, only rush hour, and it's not going to be running on the weekends, they're not going to say, oh, but will Metro Access is going to run. I thought they're connected.
You're absolutely right. Your understanding of the Americans with Disabilities Act, federal civil rights law, is spot on. If, you know, Metro Access or paratransit services are required by law to operate within 3/4 of a mile of available fixed route service, as well as within the times that those fixed route services, bus and rail, are offered. That's the law. But thanks to you all cooperation, and thanks to the leadership of WMATA, current and past, they have allowed our team, this management team, to do some things to make Metro Access, as I always say, the most customer-friendly paratransit you're going to find in America. Not only, you know, earlier we talked about transfers. Not only do we not make you transfer, but we provide service that's beyond the bus and the rail, both in terms of area as well as the hours. There was a nice customer who called me the other day. She was concerned about a trip she had. And, you know, I had to remind her the reason why the trip took a certain pathway is because she's in an area that's not part of the fixed route service at the time they're traveling. And that's just a convenience we wanted to provide to the customers, give customers the flexibility. And we believe that we could afford to do that by being more efficient overall in how we operate this service, including the use of alternatives like taxis and Ubers, et cetera. So no, you're absolutely right, Ms. Rush. If we were anywhere else, generally speaking, because you won't find too many agencies that even go beyond the ADA minimums, quite frankly. So yes, if they cut bus and rail like they did during the pandemic, paratransit gets cut along with it. Cora, you heard me say when I came on with the scary talk, as some called it, but I said any reduction in Metro bus or Metro rail would be met with a corresponding reduction in Metro access. That's what that map looks like. What we're trying to do is maintain the precedent that we've set already within Metro access over the last 5 years, which is to be able to run Metro access a little longer and a little farther out than the bus and rail service, simply for the purpose of providing you and other customers a little more convenience and understanding that the barriers that you all face when it comes to transportation are a little more challenging. So therefore, let's provide just a little more service if the authority can afford it. And fortunately, the way we've been able to successfully provide alternatives and do different things, we've been able to afford to grant you all as Metro Access customers just that little bit of extra service than the law says we have to.
Okay, I have one more thing. You used to be a director. I heard somebody say vice president. Have you had a title change?
Let's not get into that. I've been in this business for way longer than I expected when I first went to a transit agency. So I've never focused on titles. I just focused on service.
You know, the question is yes or no.
We'll talk about titles. We'll talk about it.
I'm asking. Okay. Thank you.
Whatever my title is, Ms. Rush, just so you remember, you gave me the best title I've ever had in public transportation. You called me the Corleone of paratransit.
All right, you had it.
Next, in interest of time, Doris, you're next. You're the last speaker for this topic, and then we must move on to the next topic.
Okay. 2 minutes. I second Ms. Rush's inquiry with happiness, if that was the case. Anyway, so this is the circumstance that we're in is exactly why many in the community were opposed to aligning the service area with at the minimum ADA and at days and times of service. And I will remind the committee that those two items were adopted by the board separately, and I would wager could be adjusted separately, but that's my opinion. But the question is this. When you look at the service area, you know if they do cut the service area, are they still going to define the service area as Metro bus service plus partner systems like Connector or the bus or Ride-On, or are they going to reduce it only to Metro bus service, in 3/4 of a mile Metro bus service, which would be horrendous only in itself. But the other question that I have is do you know what's going on with the localities? And I don't know whether this applies to Maryland in as much as it does apply in Virginia, that do you know if our jurisdictions right now are proposing the money that's necessary to cover all of this? And is there any danger that they might compromise on it? Because we should know that, and we should be out in strength at the various local budget meetings, certainly all here right. in Virginia, because it's a significant
up,
two-thirds.
Doris.
And so please, there's two questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let me just say real quick, now Doris's first question was actually a very brilliant question. Because as I was just talking about how Ms. Rush labels me a Corleone, if I were really slick, I mean, what she's saying, though, is that the ADA says you provide paratransit within 3/4 of a mile of fixed route services that you offer, meaning WMATA offers bus and rail service, and so we're required to provide paratransit within 3/4 of a mile in the service times. What we've done in this region, long before I came along, so it had nothing to do with me, is we've also included the locally operated transit services who otherwise would, even though many of them, like in Prince George's County and like in Virginia, offer their own paratransit service, they don't explicitly have to, because there is this partnership with Metro Access. However, yeah, if we were really trying to pull one over the eyes, if you will, of the consumers, Metro could always say, well, we're just going to provide ADA paratransit service within the service area that we serve. Now, I will say that, Doris, that's a great question. No, if there's a corresponding reduction in service with paratransit, it would still include and take into consideration the locally operated transit services, because we are the WMATA compact and Metro Access is the official paratransit service of this region. But that was a really good question. You say you got to keep, I like how you think on that one. So that was a very good question.
I like your answer so far.
Okay. Now on the second one though, I really don't have much more information other than what you or anyone may have heard on the news in terms of the, I want to say $150 million from Maryland. So I don't want to quote the numbers, I may have them wrong. Whatever you've heard from the news in terms of promised money to Metro, that's all I know at this point as well. We have colleagues in government relations and finance. I stay out of their lane and I respect their work, and they'll tell us how much money we have. But in the meantime, I just continue to try to do our part to make sure we put enough resources around to not only give you the official ADA paratransit service, but also provide you with a host of alternatives to just try to make everyone's life a little easier when it comes to transportation in the region.
All right, Rico, you're the last person I see who had a question. Is it related to the Metro Access service area?
Yes, I have two questions. Mr. Blake, why don't the general manager, why don't he take a time of his day to rent Metro Access buses?
To do what with Metro Access now?
Why don't he
to ride his, them?
Yeah, why don't he ride his stuff? And why don't he cut his salary? See, he complained about cut all this. Why don't he cut his salary in half? Because we'll be doing fair if they cut his salary in half.
Let's start with the riding. The general manager and several other members of the executive team and also members of the board have taken mystery rides on Metro Access and have been done so escorting members of the AAC. So that's a program we do have in place. And I have taken them myself on Metro Access trips, short trips, admittedly, but they have been on the service. And as far as cutting a salary, given that the deficit is $750 million, I think if you were making anywhere near that, I don't think we would probably be talking about the service. So I don't think him cutting a salary is going to make the difference. as Tino, as Chairman Patrick has pointed out, as again, I should stop calling names, but as Steve has pointed out, but everybody has pointed out, the focus here and the answer isn't Metro employee salaries, be it the CEO, vice presidents, or bus operators. The challenge here is a dedicated stream of funding for public transportation in the region. You could cut all of our salaries. We could work for free. And the way some folks call me on the weekends and at night, but I love it. Sometimes I feel that way. But you could cut all our salaries. We'll start with Ms. Anderson. I see her on the screen. She said, I'll start. No, but you could cut all of our salaries and it wouldn't make a dent in the overall fiscal challenge of providing the nation's finest and most accessible fixed route public transportation service there is. You all pointed out, I'm not saying anything different. You all said it. There needs to be a dedicated source of funding for the Metro operating budget, as well as the capital budget. And that's what the short-term and long-term battle is really all about.
All right. With that, we need to move on to our next topic. Mr. Blake, I'm going to switch it around and give you a break just for a little bit and go with Ms. Anderson's presentation since we missed it from last month. Can I do that? Go ahead. Ms. Anderson.
So, as you heard from Mr. Blake, we are just awaiting word as to decisions to be made. And thus, once those decisions are made, then the work begins with codifying that or putting that into the customer guide so that our customers are aware of any service changes forthcoming. So we're just kind of in holding pattern right now until we hear what's going to be the official word. Once we get that, and we already had a few little minor changes that we had earmarked to just make revisions or adjustments in the customer guide, that also it includes we have to do the audio version, update that audio version, update the Spanish language version, make other updates as it relates to if customers say are Googling the Metro Access guide, that the appropriate version does come up. So there are a lot of things that happen on the back end when we are making updates to the guide. We are also looking to establish a bit more of a official timeline as to making updates to the guide throughout, say the course of the year, since now the current version of the guide is located on the Metro Access webpage so that customers can always see the most current version, get the most up-to-date information from that. So we are looking to establish more of a set timetable for making updates to the guide so we can make sure that that's the case.
So, my question for you, Ms. Anderson, is whenever we get the information and things are finalized with the board, so my understanding is obviously there's going to be some substantial changes in terms of whatever it is.
Well, we don't know that yet.
No, I'm talking about whatever the change, or if it stays the same or there are changes, the guide will be updated accordingly in terms of the service map, if that happens. The same thing with the hours of service. I do hope that there is an update in terms of abilities right providers. Yeah. Is it possible to get the numbers of some of these abilities right providers also listed in the customer guide? So on that same day of service, the customer is able to contact them just to check on their trip?
That I'm going to defer to Mr. Blake.
Now, I have the numbers because I've learned to figure out how to get them, you know, just to check on it and things like that. But I'm just asking Mr. Blake, is that possible to give to the public? I figured it out.
Yeah, the answer is yes, but the truth be told, and that's why I have to do these mystery rides on the different providers. They're supposed to be providing you that number anyway once they are informed that your trip has won the lottery to be selected for a trip on their service. They are supposed to contact you with a number to help, or at least a link to a web-based option so that you can track your trip and communicate with the company just in case something is not going right.
Like, for instance, I'll spell it out. Like Old Dominion, obviously I'm, you know, ride it frequent enough, I'm able to get their number and they're like, oh, we're still working on your trip, or, you know, that type of thing. So I'm able to tell Metro Access, it's like, it's not going to happen. We may need to do something else. Instead of waiting the whole 30-minute window, you know, I can tell those things over time. Or, you know, with Yellow Cab at DC, who've been very good at, you know, sending the text the night before, you know, I'm able to communicate with them and say, oh, I may need to move the trip up about 30 minutes, and they're able to adjust that way, that type of thing, on that day of the trip.
Sounds good. I mean, that's,
because they've been good about doing that specifically.
Right. No, we love that. And like you said, you're getting the numbers. I have to maybe do another mystery ride on Old Dominion. I haven't been on them for a little
bit. I kind of found out the back end way.
they should be providing you that number. But to your point, though, in terms of this topic, yes. Contact information can be provided in the customer guide. But we're also going to have a big, bold section there to remind customers you cannot simply call up one of these companies.
Oh, no, not for that. Just subsidized trip as you're from the trip that's assigned to it,
right? Yeah, so we'll do that, we'll take care of that.
And there may be needed to be a reminder that, you know, what these abilities, right? Their third party services and doing curb to curb except for this particular company. So customers know the expectations as they're dealing with abilities ride providers, with the exception of this new one that you introduced.
We agree.
All right, so let me take questions. I see Miss Anderson, you did some hands for questions. So Doris first, and then followed by Vanessa. 2 minutes each.
So can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm okay, my name is sure Heidi. I'm waiting for a long time. Why not been called? The other two people have been called multiple times.
Okay, the chairman already stated two times that we will take questions and comments from members of the public during public comment section. That will begin at 5:35. Thank you. Doris, go ahead.
Okay. So my question is, whether, you know, if, since everything is kind of on edge and we're not sure when certain decisions are going to be made, I'm going to make a suggestion because this came up before when we were going through a lot of changes back in 2011 and you know, when we changed the service area and all kinds of changes we're having. And it's this. Instead of having to wait to put new policies out once we get a new guide totally together, is it possible to do what are called change pages, you know, in like in engineering firms and technical, but to get out of being technical, just do change pages, alerts, you know, about the new service would change, the new fare will be whatever it's going to end up being, and putting those out to people as an initial, whenever we need it, you know, to go out when the change is going to be made, and then incorporating it into the manual and putting out a full manual later, but so that we don't have to wait.
So what I will say, Doris, there were two big changes this summer, and I think Mr. Blake and well, Miss Anderson will probably speak to was when we had the window Metro Access pickup window adjustment change and the flat fare come
Something
in.
about policy, or just something as
But
simple
those
as
were put on the
policy
IVR to let
and rules
customers know
change.
almost immediately on the front end. That's what I was saying. So they knew
Yeah.
about that, and then of course, add it into the customer guide.
And I would say this, because we have the guide on the web page, we will be pretty quick with getting that updated. And what we did with the fare change as well as the window revision was we added a special page to catch customers' attention in the guide to say, hey, this is something brand new that you probably need to pay attention to there. So it's not going to be like maybe historically where we're waiting 6 months to put together the revisions and get that out to customers. Once we get word of the proposed changes, we're going to move rather quickly to get that information out in the guide.
But I'm guessing there are at least a significant number of people who would go to whatever medium they get in the mail first before going to the website. And so I think we need to be careful that that doesn't happen. And I'm thinking about, some people that might get confused about if there are a lot of changes, so I think we need to be sure that the people out there that have their deaf or who have dual disabilities, deafness and physical disabilities or whatever, and deaf-blind people and maybe even people with certain learning disabilities and such might brain injuries, for example,
Doris, your
might
time is up. We
be
need to
important
finish.
to ensure that they understand the policies instead of having to deal with it as a complaint or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And just as Mr. Semmelfarb says, we have a number of communication mediums that we can use to make sure that customers will get the word out. So I'm sure we'll be flexible with utilizing those appropriately.
All right, Vanessa, you had your hand up on this topic. If not, we're going to move on to the next topic so we can start customer comment period at 5:35 sharp. Mr. Blake, you're on. I'm talking about the Metro Access minivan update.
Yeah, this would be real quick. We're proceeding with the minivans. We've talked about them, but this came up months ago, right before the budget news came, and then this got really pushed back. We are bringing some more minivans, as we've been saying all along, and there is going to be one difference because Ms. Rush and I and a few others kept having a debate as to how many of us could sit on that seat together. And again, I always say we're not transporting more than two people at a time, but we had the test of can three people sit on there? And we got into some healthy, fun discussions over how large can those three people be and all that kind of good stuff. The new vans you're going to see. So we have 23 of the regular vans that many of you have tested and have ridden in. We've provided hundreds of trips in those vehicles already. The new van is going to be distinguished with one key piece. There's going to be a divider in between the two seats in the back. So no, it will not be able to sit three people anymore. There will be two seats with one divider in between the two seats, offering customers a little more comfort, but also a little more division and space between the two customers, if there's ever two customers who are ambulatory riding together. But the main update I wanted to present, because There was a question of concern, and it's not negative. Questions are very, very positive. And so it was taken in that spirit. I forgot who actually raised the question. I believe it was Sandy, but forgive me if it wasn't Sandy, if it was somebody else, but it was a very fair question. The question was, why would we buy minivans and not test them with members of the community first? And that was a very good question, but we never got a chance to get to that subject. And what I wanted to share tonight is the difference between the minivan purchase and the next generation that Glenn Millis presented so eloquently a couple of weeks or last month about. In 2020, we made the decision, we wanted to bring sedans into the Metro Access fleet, a small percentage of sedans into the Metro Access fleet to provide a little more roomier service for customers and therefore also take some trips off of the vans. The sedan purchases, many of you who were on the committee at the time heard me use this terminology a lot called new off-the-lot vehicles. Because what did I learn from Ms. Rush and then my own experience in riding on our four transit vehicles? Ms. Rush called them cargo vans. And when you're riding on those four transits, they can be uncomfortable. They're not, and I get that. But those were vehicles that were designed for one purpose and we retrofitted them for another. We're not unique in utilizing four transits as passenger vans, mind you, but I heard the message loud and clear. We went with our sedans on what we call new off-the-lot vehicles. If you or I went to a car dealer, what is the car that's sitting out there? It's a new off-the-lot car. We pay the money or we finance it, whatever the case may be. New off-the-lot, we drive it off the lot and we're using the vehicle. Well, that's how we got the minivans, and that was done following an extensive period of outreach. And you all know that. I brought vehicles here, and you all got in and out of the vehicles. We developed a specific set of criteria. Now, there came to be a time when there was a lot of tension between some members of the committee and myself because some members got and members of the community as well got focused on the title and make and model of the vehicle and not just the specs and expected that because they selected a particular make and model, that is what Metro promised. And we went through all of that. I would have loved to have gotten the vehicle that everybody loved. It wasn't my control. We have open, fair, competitive solicitations, and that's what we went with. But in that extensive outreach to the AAC, and members of the community, we developed a spec from the Honda Accord. The rear leg room of 40.4 inches is the Honda, and the rear headroom of 37.2 inches. And then Metro added some other things like it had to meet 40 miles an hour in gasoline and other specs. And what we ended up with was a Toyota Camry, essentially the same vehicle as the Honda, but we don't want to get into that debate tonight. The point was, new off-the-lot vehicles, we developed a spec for those new off-the-lot vehicles so that when we went to go purchase the minivans, again, the minivans are new off-the-lot vehicles. The only difference between the minivans currently used by Metro Access and the minivan you would purchase for your family is that we take that first row of seats out in order to provide space for a wheelchair. That's the only difference. And then we also include some other equipment to facilitate public transportation service. But this was a new off-the-lot vehicle. We had already done an extensive amount of outreach with the community on what the specs of a new off-the-lot vehicle should be. And in the headroom, the rear leg room of the Chrysler is officially 39 inches. But again, by removing that row of seats, you literally have unlimited legroom. Is how far, because there's nothing in front of you when you're sitting on the seat in the minivan. So that already exceeds our baseline that we establish. And the headroom is actually higher. It's 39.6 inches versus the 37 inches in the Honda and actually 38 in the Toyota Camry. So that was what I was really just trying to get back to that subject. Yes, we made a decision on the minivans. They were a larger version of the new off-the-lot vehicles we had already purchased because we wanted to give customers who are riding in wheelchairs the same comfort that some of our ambulatory customers have been able to experience riding in the Toyota Camrys. So that's why there wasn't, though, another round of solicitation and outreach, because we had already established what the new off-the-lot vehicle specs were. The larger vehicle that Glenn presented, whole different kettle of fish, and that's why we went through hearing what did you want in that vehicle. You're going to get to see a sample of the vehicle before we go purchase a larger number of those vehicles. But that's a different category than the minivans. But that's why we, you know, moving forward, when we're purchasing new off-the-lot vehicles, we believe, based on the extensive amount of feedback and dialogue and interaction we've already had, there's no need to continue to reinvent the wheel. We have a good spec. Customers are comfortable. These are soft suspensions, and we're providing service on them right now to hundreds of customers, and we want to continue to move forward because these vehicles are going to become sort of the hub of our fleet moving forward.
So for the record, for these minivans, for the update, that in the back there will be a divider which will allow to sit for, just to be clear, two people or still three?
Just two now, officially two. So that me and Ms. Rush didn't have to do that test anymore, me sitting in between her and Mr. Albert. We're not going to do that no more. So if you picture yourself, I shouldn't say this, but if you picture yourself riding in a Cadillac, remember those big Cadillacs and you had that armrest in the back that kind of divided the two big seats? Well, that's what you're going to see, somewhat, not quite Cadillac-esque, but that's what you're going to have on that back seat. So it'll clearly be a division between the two seats in the minivans that will be coming in over the next several weeks and months.
All right, thank you so much. Now, Manu, are there any hands of anyone who wants to speak on this topic?
Debbie Fisher has raised her hand. So Debbie, when you start speaking, I'll turn on the timer.
Just quick question, Mr. Blake. When in those divided back seats, if you have an ambulatory person who needs assistance with, for example, putting on a seatbelt or something, will that interfere with it, or will that not be a problem at all?
We don't see that as being a problem. Good question. No. But the seatbelt holder is still very well exposed and will be right there, and the operator just has to pull the seatbelt across and latch it in.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
All righty.
We do not have any other AAC members with their hands up.
All right. That is good. All right. So now we're going to transition on to public comment period. I'm going to let you give your spiel, and then you are going to tell me who the list of people who wants to speak.
Thank you. So I would ask any members of the public who would like to make public comments, please either send me a chat message or raise your hands. If you're calling through phone calls, you can press *9 to raise your virtual hands. If you press *9 again, that will lower your virtual hands. Anybody who is on the video conference, you can click on the raise hand icon. Please, if you're able to use these tools, it will help, because then we know that somebody's trying to make comments, and we can have the members of the public in the order they put their hands up. We do have one person with their hand up. Her name is Heidi Lee. Heidi Lee, when you start speaking, okay, I will turn on the timer for 2 minutes.
Thank you. Actually, I'm a Metro Access passenger. I had multiple times calling, try to resolve the problem. They didn't able to, so they introduced me to join your meeting. Is this Zoom meeting every month the same ID and same password?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, I start to ask your question. Because every time they said if a driver delayed, you will get a credit. It's one lady says it's automatically going to show on your account. Another person says it has to have a customer service people to put in there. So how does it work?
Miss Anderson will answer that question for you. Miss Anderson.
Thank you. So the way the late trip credit that you're referring to works is if Metro Access fails to honor the trip window that was negotiated, that we provide the customer a late trip credit. That credit, however, is placed onto your EasyPay account in the next month that that late trip occurs. So for instance, if you encountered a late trip today, right, on March 18th, you would not see that late trip credit appear onto your account until the 24th or 25th of April.
My question is, who going to put in there, or automatically, or the customer must call then in order to put in the next month?
No, the customer does not have to do anything.
Okay.
It's an automatic, automatic credit rendered.
Okay, my problem is last year I had two times delayed. First day was delayed a few hours. Second day delayed almost overnight, and that's made me getting sick, and so not able to make a third day's trip, which is last once a lifetime events, was the largest events in the world. Happened in U.S. in National Mall in D.C. That was September. But for many months, there are no show up the credit in there, mm-hmm. and never getting the resolved problem. And this month, I had another trip. The person delayed more than 1 hour.
Your time is up, so
I know, but
customers.
But my question haven't complete yet, and the more than 1 hour delayed, they just canceled that, and I didn't able to go to the show, which is lost more than $100 tickets plus the waiting outside very cold place in the wheelchair for more than 1 hour, and they just automatically canceled that. That's the problem. They never gave a credit, but they also used my Easy Pay, which is wrong. And they said manager going to call me, but they never called. I waited the remaining 5 days and I never called. How should I resolve the problem?
Ms. Heidi, I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
This is Anu. Next would be Sheila and then Libra Robinson. So Sheila, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Hi, how are you? I had a conversation with Mr. Blake last month. I have a son with IDD, and I live a mile outside of the 3/4 ratio, so I have to take him up the street for Metro Access. But my question is, since 2021, I've noticed that Metro Access is in my neighborhood. The person is grandfathered, whoever it is. I mean, I follow them. They're grandfathered. So I'm sitting up the street waiting for Metro Access, but they're in my neighborhood picking up somebody else. So my question is, I understand about the grandfathering, But is it possible to grandfather the neighborhood if you get a grandfathered person in there? Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Mr. Blake, take up that question.
It's very creative. I'm not opposed to it personally. I mean, I love creativity. That's not the promise that the commitment that was made by WMATA at the time. Again, I think it's a creative idea. You get somebody in the neighborhood, so people are going to see the Metro Access vans there. Why can't you just pick up everybody in there?
Yeah, you're right. I'm sitting in my kitchen watching them, but I have to take them up the street to catch them.
But there are, as and I hate to talk money per se, but there are always fiscal and other impacts when you do that. Again, I think it's a creative idea. I'm not necessarily, you're not going to hear me say I'm opposed to it, but the challenge is right now is that wasn't what was set in stone at the time of the grandfathering being established. And so that would be a whole new policy that the committee and members of the disability community like yourself and other disability stakeholders would need to advocate for.
Okay, I can do that. And I'm the person who they picked him up because of a glitch for 6 weeks from my house. And then as fast as they gave it to me, they took it back.
Took it right back. Now, there's been several. I had to speak to another customer today. There's been a lot of that. We're sorry for the glitch, and it's caused a lot of confusion unnecessarily. But yeah, there have been some areas and customers who were able to pick up or get picked up outside the service area while we were trying to update the map. And then once we updated the map, their newfound freedom was suddenly taken away. And we apologize for that.
Okay, so I can make a suggestion or I need to do something in writing?
Start in writing. Start with your local officials, I would say. Start with the
agency. Oh, I can do that. Okay.
You know, it's about advocacy, and then decisions have to be made with resources from there.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
All right, next customer, Anu.
Next would be Libra Robinson. When you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, yes, thank you very much. My question is concerning the ability ride. Now, first I want to say I am very, very glad that you have decided to contract with the company that will provide door-to-door service such as Metro Access does. Now, my question for you is, once you have this contract signed, and that's, I think it was USERV, if I'm not mistaken, will there be an option when asked, for instance, if you win the lottery or if your Metro Access is late, will there be an option to be able to choose the USERV as opposed to Uber or cabs? Because I know you can just get the cab or the Uber, sure. But if a Metro Access person would really like that door-to-door service like Metro Access provides, would there be an option to select the USERV?
I would love for that to be an option, and we're going to see and do everything we can. But it goes back to the conversation I was having with the chairman earlier. It really is going to depend on how many drivers they hire, where they hire, because let's say the answer is yes, and I don't know where you live, but I'm just gonna say, let's just say you happen to live in Laurel. I'm just picking a place just for the sake of this example. If you live in Laurel, the answer is yes, but their service and their drivers are only in DC and Upper Marlboro and New Carrollton, it still would not be an option for you if you understand what I'm saying. So I would love for that to be an option. I think they want to grow to something like that, but it really will depend on how many drivers they have, how many trips we send them on a daily basis in terms of the lottery, and of course, most importantly, where will their drivers be starting their pickups from?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So at this point, Chair Summerford, we do not have any other members of the public. However, if any additional members of the public would like to raise hands or come off of mute if you have any questions or comments. If not, we will start the public comment section for the AAC members.
And I see Miss Vanessa Cole's hand is up. Yes. Unless there's anyone else from the public who has not spoken.
So we do not have any additional hands up at this point.
So all right, go ahead, Vanessa.
Alert. Audio now unmuted. Thank you. Invite.
I had wanted to ask this question when Mr. Blake was doing the ability, so I missed an up a window. So my question was concerning you, sir. So Uber has a tendency to cherry pick the people that they want to pick up and take places. I've been canceled several times in the morning. Will you, sir, have the same type of ability, or, you know, maybe take the trips that they're given? How would that work, Mr. Blake?
That's a great, great question. So yes, but not so yes. Here's the difference. With you, sir, some days, and Mr. Semaphore can speak to this and others, some days you receive your Uber links for tomorrow, the night before. That's most days. Like, nobody's received it today because we haven't ran the lottery just yet, but we'll get to it a little later. And then some mornings you get a text message that has my name in it that says, would you like your trips on Uber, even though you didn't win the lottery the night before? Well, we're giving you a second chance lottery. The difference with USERV, and those are the Uber trips generally, and then a few taxis. The USERV trips are going to be cherry picked, if you will, by their operators, by their drivers, but they're going to do so the night before. So if your trip has been selected for USERV, it's only finalized after a driver has agreed to provide that trip. And so the only reason the next day that driver won't provide that trip is if he or she got sick, something came up, they were in an accident or something that just was unusual. But they pick their trips the night before, so they have a schedule for their whole day. And if your name is on their schedule, you're going to be picked up the next day.
Alert. Audio now unmuted. Invite.
Okay, so we'll have less cancellations.
Correct.
Because they have manifest cancellations.
That is correct.
Okay.
And they have already chosen. They see, oh, that's that nice Miss Vanessa Coles who gives us big tips. No, you don't have to give them no tips. They'll say Mr. Blake told you to give them tips. But they're going to see Miss Coles. I don't live too far from her. She doesn't give me any trouble. She doesn't yell at me. She doesn't curse at me. It's always an easy pickup, safe delivery and drop off and escort to and from the door. I want to take her trip. They have it the night before they go to bed. They know how much money they're going to make the next day. It really is a unique and very nice and good business model, so long as they're not overwhelmed with a whole lot of trips. So our goal is to give them enough trips that's going to keep you and all the customers very happy using their services. And the only going to do that is if they provide good service to you. So we won't
over. Old comma. You are muted. Press Alt plus 8.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Coles.
Thank you for the questions. Great question.
Alert. Alert. Hello, you are muted. Hello. Press Alt plus 8 to unmute.
I'm going to mute you, Vanessa. Okay, thank you.
All right, next I see Sandy's hand up.
Yes, Sandy, go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Blake, I want to thank you for that explanation. I think you're referring to me coming down a little bit hard on Sarah Meyer when she introduced herself to the AAC, and I raised a question about how were decisions made. No, but thank you for the explanation that there was a lot of information that went into that decision information from the AAC. Okay, I apologize for my coming down hard on Sarah Meyer way back when.
No problem. But thank you for that. But yeah, no, that was a good question. And I felt it warranted, it was a very important question. I felt it warranted a response, but over these last several months, as you know, the budget just took up so much of our time and focus, and rightfully so. But that's, yes, there was a lot. I mean, I brought all sorts of car dealers here, and they all wanted to sell their vehicles, but it was going to be, which car does the members of the AAC and the disability community like? And we would build a spec from those, from their feedback. And that's how we ended up with the Camry and the minivan.
Are there any of the AAC members that want to make any comments here besides the one who's spoken?
I'm sorry. I could not get myself off of mute to continue with that in the vein of what I asked Mr. Blake. Because on the other hand, somebody's familiar with if they decide to always take your trip with your trips and where you go. I don't know if I like that. And also, if there's somebody that you would like to not pick you up, how would that work?
Philippa.
Well, just like what we have right now with taxi or Uber, we have the ability of saying to the company to program their systems to either exclude an operator from picking up any trips that are sent over to them by Metro, or exclude that operator from a particular customer, and a little bit of computer programming can handle that. And to your point, if you feel, because this can happen more so with taxis and then the Userve model than an Uber, because Uber is so random when it comes to who's on the road at the time and in their freedom as independent contractors. But you could always, for a week or two or a couple of days, for any service, say, please don't put my trip on Uber today or for the next couple of days. Don't put my trip on taxis. You can always randomize it. Now, that then impacts your lottery winnings, if you will. I got to stop. But yes, we want you to feel safe. We want you to feel comfortable. And anything that creates a level of discomfort, a level of dissatisfaction, we can make the adjustments. You just let us know.
All right. Any other committee members before I put in a motion to adjourn?
Chair Summerfield?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You have to give you a spiel. But anyone else that you see anew?
I do not see any other hands up. So
you might be off the hook, Mr. Blake.
I see. Thank you all. This was a great meeting.
So just a reminder that anybody who would like...
Hold on, please.
Rico?
Oh, you have a question, Rico? Go ahead.
Yeah. Mr. Blake, did you find out about the BRI on the officer for Metro Access for Ramada? I'm sorry.
We followed up, and they should be getting in touch with you because that's kind of a personal situation. But if obviously by you asking me the question, they must not have gotten in touch with you. So I will follow up with the police department and ask them to give you the communication that is warranted, if you will.
Thank you.
Yes.
And before we go to our wonderful AAC members, before we New gets our spill and adjourn, please note on the AAC meeting next month, we are going to focus on those bylaws, So pick up your rough draft copy. If you don't have it, and we'll request a new to send it to you. I'm just putting that out there. Go ahead and new with your spiel.
Well, thank you for mentioning that because that is very important. And I just want to remind or inform any members of the public that if you would like to send your comments or questions or concerns to us, you can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmeta.com. And that's metroaacchair@wmeta.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That is for providing your public comments before or after the meeting. And I just want to remind everyone, all the AAC members, that I have sent an email about the upcoming site visit for the 8K rail car soft mock-up. So please do find my email. The schedule is in that email. And if you have any questions, obviously, you know how to reach me through my phone or emails. And I will conclude my announcement with that. Thank you, Chair Samuford.
Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Pause, recording.
Motion.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye. This meeting's adjourned. Mr. Blake, we're going to run that lottery for tonight.
We're going to run a lottery.